I'm here with Alexander Mercuris, editor-in-chief of The Duran. Alexander, it looks like Comey is under investigation. And this story involves Dutch intelligence, which is interesting. It also involves the Hillary Clinton emails once again. What's going on here, Alexander?
This is a very strange story, and it has some history. And I can remember actually coming back to it back in, I think it was January 2018, so quite early in the Russiagate hoax, if you like. There were all sorts of articles circulating at the end of 2017 and early 2018 about how Dutch intelligence had managed to hack a Russian hacker group called Cozy Bear. Cozy Bear allegedly was one of the two Russian hacker groups that had hacked the DNC. There was Fancy Bear and there was Cozy Bear. This was Cozy Bear that had been supposedly hacked, and that they'd been actually filmed. The Dutch had actually managed to film these guys, whoever they were, through their own CCTV cameras, going about their business. And it was all a very weird story. And it was difficult to know quite what to make about it, except that one of the interesting things about the story was that when it was reported, it made it fairly clear that these people, whoever they were, Cozy Bear, supposedly, allegedly, were operating from a building that belongs to Moscow State University near the Kremlin, which rather suggested that we were dealing with a student group as opposed to an actual Russian intelligence group, which would explain, by the way, why it was so easy for the Dutch intelligence people to hack them. Anyway, that was the story that as it appeared at the end of 2017, 2018. It then died. And I mean, I remembered it because it was so weird and that we heard absolutely nothing more about it. And then, if you remember, halfway through 2018, Mueller published his famous indictment in which he went after various people who he said were Russian GRU agents who had allegedly hacked the DNC. And that was a completely different group. That was supposed to be a group called Fancy Bear. You know, Cozy Bear, Fancy Bear, all very confusing. And this story about Dutch intelligence having hacked Cozy Bear wasn't referred to anywhere in the Mueller report. I remember, because I remember going through the Mueller report and reading it in huge detail, looking for references to the Cozy Bear Dutch intelligence hack, and there was nowhere there. Now, what we've now learned is that story about Cozy Bear, the Dutch intelligence having hacked Cozy Bear, that the person who leaked it in some form, apparently in late 2017 or sometime in 2017, was none other than James Comey himself. Now, what's not clear to me is whether he actually provided all this information about this Dutch intelligence hack to the media whilst he was still FBI director, or whether he did it afterwards. But it was clearly a leak of classified intelligence, and it was a very serious breach of the leak rules. And unsurprisingly, he's now being investigated for that leak by the Justice Department. And I think on this one, he could definitely face charges, because it sounds to me like an extraordinarily, you know, bad thing that he should have leaked this information. But that still comes back to the, you know, mystery of the original story of this Dutch leak. And what it now seems to be coming together from all of this is that when the Dutch leaked this this Cozy Bear group, they were able to get some of the emails that these Cozy Bear people had managed to obtain, and amongst them was an email supposedly sent by Desi Wasserman Schultz, you know, this Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who was at that time the president of the DNC. And she sent it to an official called Bernardo, who worked for one of George Soros's entities. I should make it very clear that both she and he deny that this email ever existed, but you know that this email exchange ever took place. But the email, in this email, Wasserman Schultz allegedly reassured this man who was working for Soros that there was no chance of the Clinton email investigation. We're now talking about Hillary Clinton's own emails, the ones that were passing through this Hillary Clinton's private server, that there was no chance of that prosecution, of that investigation ever resulting in charges against Hillary Clinton, because Loretta Lynch, who was, of course, the Attorney General of the United States, was going to make sure that never happened. And I would remind our viewers that Loretta Lynch, at some point, we don't know the date of this email, at some point had a meeting with Bill Clinton on a business jet. This has been a very mysterious and strange encounter. We've never had any proper explanation for it. Anyway, the story that we are now getting is that Comey was so spooked when he discovered from the Dutch about the existence of this email, that this was what made him decide that he was going to go and actually make the announcement that Hillary Clinton was not going to be charged for the for using a private server for classified State Department emails rather than Loretta Lynch, because he felt that as a result of the existence of this email, Loretta Lynch had been compromised and that the Russians would be publishing this email to prove that Loretta Lynch was actually compromised and that her decision was not, you know, a fair decision. So this is the story that we're now hearing. Now, to what extent any of this is true, I don't know. I mean, I really don't know. I'm not making any assumptions about the truth of the original Dutch intelligence story on the allegations there. But one thing seems incontrovertible, and that is that Comey himself was the person who was behind the leak of this story. Now, why he did it, what his motivations were, what he was up to, it's not really very clear. But it does seem to come back to Comey again. And this is evidence that Comey was involved in some kind of serious criminal offense.
So this is in reference to when Comey said that he wasn't going to pursue charges against Hillary Clinton.
Correct.
And a lot of the Democrats were saying, Comey, just tanked Hillary Clinton's campaign, even though he said he's not going to pursue charges. He didn't say that what she did was, not proper. I forgot the wording that he used.
Well, he said it was grossly negligent or highly negligent or something of that kind.
Instead of criminal.
Right. Because she didn't have the necessary criminal intention, even though the actual legislation involved makes it very clear she didn't need to have the criminal intention. It was a bizarre sort of, it was a whitewash, basically.
But it makes sense now in a way, because Comey wasn't actually doing it to harm Clinton. He was actually doing it to protect Loretta Lynch. And in essence, to protect Clinton, because if all this stuff got out, there would have been hell to pay, especially if you started connecting dots and going to the plane meeting on the tarmac in Arizona between Bill and Loretta Lynch and all that stuff. I mean, it was also a preemptive move on his part.
Exactly. That is exactly right. That is exactly what it was. That's why he's, provided people with this information. He leaked this information to the media in order to explain his decision. I am sure there is something else, though, which is that, of course, Comey has come under a great deal of criticism. The FBI has come for a great deal of criticism for accepting the CrowdStrike story about the hacking of the DNC servers by, you know, Fancy Bear and Cozy Bear. And I think that partly the intention behind Comey's leaking of this information about this Dutch intelligence story is in order to show that the Russians did indeed hack the DNC. But, you know, there are so many problems with that that let me start first of all, as I said, Mueller doesn't mention any of this in his report. So clearly the US authorities looked at this story and they weren't really comfortable about it, possibly because Debbie Wasserman Schultz and this man, I think his name is Bernardo, denied that this email ever existed. So if the email never existed, it can't by definition have been obtained via a hack. That's the first thing to say. But you know, even if it did exist, and even if Cozy Bear did in fact hack the DNC, the point is, as I said, we're looking at a student group, or what appears to be a student group, operating out of a university building belonging to Moscow State University, rather than a real Russian intelligence outfit, you know, like the GRU. And of course, when Mueller actually published his famous indictments, it was the GRU and Fancy Bear, which was supposed to be this GRU group, that he focused on. Now, I have always said that it's quite possible that all sorts of people were hacking the DNC. Unsurprising if they did. None of that proves that this story that, you know, Russian intelligence hacked the DNC and provided the emails to WikiLeaks, which then published them, is true. I mean, though that sort of connection doesn't follow. And importantly, Mueller doesn't make it. So it looks as if this Dutch intelligence story, for whatever reason, was investigated by the US authorities, and it turned out to be a dead end. I suspect it turned out to be a dead end because the group involved was probably not, as I said, it was probably a student group, not connected in any way with the Russian government or with the Russian authorities. But you know, let's focus on the important thing. It shows once again, Comey, far from being, you know, this pure person that he says, he's absolutely someone who himself intentionally and deliberately leaks classified information.
Yeah, no, Comey's a leaker and a schemer, and I think that's obvious at this point.
Absolutely.
But I think it's a dead end.
It's a dead end.
On the basis of the DNC hack. Yeah. I mean, we all know. I think it's pretty well accepted that the DNC probably was not a hack. It was downloaded thumb drive, and that's where you have the whole business with SR. I'm not going to say the name, but everyone who's watching this knows what I'm talking about.
Of course they do. Now, can I just quickly say and add and remind our viewers that when you actually go through, we've discussed this in previous videos, you go through the Mueller reports, Mueller himself accepts in that report that there is a high possibility that WikiLeaks received those emails from a courier. In other words, they weren't sent to WikiLeaks via this elaborate system of the Russians hacking the DNC, creating this entity called Guccifer 2, and Guccifer 2 sending all that information via a link to WikiLeaks. Mueller himself admits in his report, he does it in a very, very, well, you know, very elliptical way, but he admits that that is only a theory. If it was a courier, that whole theoretical structure of the Russian hack, the Guccifer 2 role, all of that just disintegrates. So, you know, let's be very clear. We're talking about a theory a theory of a Russian hack of the DNC, which even Mueller accepts is only a theory. We have discussed this in previous videos. I would invite our viewers, if they want to go back, they can find them in our site. We went into this in huge detail. So let's not get lost in talking about the Russian hack of the DNC. We need to focus on what Comey is up to. It looks to me, as I said, as if Comey leaked this information from a Dutch intelligence, provided by Dutch intelligence, basically to explain why he cleared Hillary Clinton. And that was a completely inappropriate thing for him to do, by the way. And secondly, I think to ginger up the story of the hack, which is only based on the report provided by CrowdStrike. Can I repeat again? This Dutch story is clearly a dead end because the US authorities themselves did not pursue it. If there had been any truth to it, something would have been said about it in the Mueller report, and nothing was.
Yeah, that's my point. It's a dead end from the standpoint of DNC hacking.
Yeah, yeah.
Which there wasn't a hack, in my opinion. But it's not a dead end from the standpoint of Loretta Lynch, Hillary Clinton, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, and this guy, Bernardo. Leonard Bernardo, George Soros funded group, Open Society Foundation. I've got a Fox News article pulled up right here, which is talking about it. There was communication between Debbie Wasserman Schultz and this guy, Bernardo. And I quote here from Fox News, claiming a tacit understanding between the Clinton campaign and the Obama Justice Department over the inquiry into whether she intentionally revealed classified information through her use of a private email server, she being Hillary Clinton. Dutch intelligence accessed the document on Russian computers and provided it to the FBI. Included in the document was a discussion between Debbie Wasserman Schultz, then the chairwoman of the Democratic National Committee, and Leonard Bernardo, the Soros guy. Schultz told Bernardo in the document that then Attorney General Loretta Lynch would ensure Clinton was not prosecuted in the email probe. So my point is that while the hacking, yes, a dead end, complete dead end, because we know what happened there, in my opinion, this leak that shows Schultz speaking with this Soros guy saying that Loretta Lynch is not going to prosecute, or is not even going to go, is not going to go after Hillary Clinton, is undercuts the entire Democrat narrative that, oh, well, Comey also tanked Clinton's campaign, you know, 8 days before the election, by what you explained, by saying, you know, it was not right what he did, what she did, but it wasn't criminal. No, this undercuts, because to me, this is kind of showing that Comey was protecting Loretta Lynch.
Yeah, and absolutely. Clinton, definitely, without any doubt. Comey protected Loretta Lynch because he was afraid that the Russians had compromising material about her. Whether they did or whether they didn't, I don't know. But that's what he says, or that's what he appears to have said, he thought. And he was protecting Hillary Clinton also because he went out and gave a press conference in which he vindicated her. So he was actually protecting both of these people, even though he had evidence, which he clearly thought at the time had some, you know, substance, because he's clearly concerned about it, that in fact there were bad things going on. And that's the story. I mean, it's a very weird thing. And it's very interesting how it's coming out piece by piece. As I said, we had that first leak back in late 2017, which didn't really actually explain very much. It was very weird. I remember trying to make sense of it at the time and not being able to, because it really didn't
Don't you want to see that conversation, that email between W. Washington and the Soros guy?
We have to call it at the moment an alleged conversation. I would love to see it. And note that back in late 2017, the media at that time, who had been provided all this information by Comey, didn't reveal it. I mean, they didn't reveal that this alleged conversation had been found on a Russian computer, allegedly. So, you know, one can already see all kinds of little agendas being pursued. On the one hand, they want to build up the case about the Russian hack. So here we have a story about Dutch intelligence discovering the Russians carrying out their hacks, they're catching them red-handed. As we said, and let me repeat again, that part of the story, that's clearly a dead end because it was dropped. It didn't go anywhere. That's clear about this. But there was that agenda back in 2017, and then there was clearly the agenda by Bill Clinton, James Comey, to try to protect Loretta Lynch and Hillary Clinton, and dare I say it, the Democrats, by closing down the Hillary Clinton email investigation, despite the fact that he clearly was in possession of at least one email which clearly concerned him. And, you know, this alleged email between Debbie Wasserman Schultz and Leonard Bernardo. Now, you know, so it doesn't look very good. And it's very interesting, by the way, that this information was not provided to, clearly wasn't provided to Michael Horowitz, the Inspector General of the FBI, because when I went through his report on James Comey's, mishandling of Clinton email investigation, this isn't mentioned there either. So the only conclusion I can draw from that, because Horowitz is extremely careful to discuss every aspect of everything, is that Comey didn't reveal this information to him. He didn't reveal to Horowitz about all of this. And of course, he certainly didn't tell Horowitz about the fact that he'd been circulating this material to the media. So again, and this is the key point about this story, it puts James Comey in a very bad light. It shows him breaking the law because he's circulating this material, which is classified. And it also shows him protecting, as he thought, Loretta Lynch and Hillary Clinton, and closing down an investigation in order to protect them.
Wasn't Julian Assange on Dutch TV as well? I believe the channel was called NTV, where he actually mentioned how he got that information on the server via a person on the inside. He never mentioned the name. Or he said someone was actually threatened, or someone's life was threatened, or someone actually could be threatened or could be murdered. He mentioned something like that. I'll go back and look at that video, and I'm sure all the viewers will remind us of that video as well. He was on Dutch TV.
I'm sure you're right. I don't remember it myself, but I am sure you're right.
It was Dutch TV. It was a Dutch TV channel as well. It's interesting. Yes. Very interesting what's going on with Dutch intelligence.
And indeed, yeah.
There's some connection there. I don't know what it is yet, but there's some connection there.
Well, there certainly is. But as I said, let's remember that, well, first of all, I mean, this is another thing, because I've heard, or rather drilling down into the Zero Hedge story, there is some sort of insinuation there that this wasn't actually the Dutch at all who were hacking this group. It was actually the FBI, and that the Dutch were used for some reason to provide cover. I'm not sure that makes much sense to me either, actually. But this whole story about the Dutch hack of Cozy Bear doesn't actually in the end make a great deal of sense. It would make sense if Cozy Bear wasn't anything important. And that's what I rather suspect it was. I suspect Cozy Bear has, if it exists, has no connection with Russian intelligence, no connection with the Russian government. It's probably a group of a bunch of graduate students at Moscow State University, you know, doing the kind of thing that some graduate students who are very computer literate go around doing. But, you know, and that the Dutch or the FBI, whoever it was, got, you know, swept along by something that, you know, ultimately proved to have no reality. But it does cast a very interesting light on James Comey. And I would say this, looks to me a serious violation of the law in relation to leaking of classified information. If Comey is behind it, and we're talking about the New York Times saying that he was, the journalist who's run this story has won a Pulitzer Prize. So, you know, I'm going to assume it's true, then I think James Comey is even in more urgent need of consulting with his lawyers.
Well, we'll leave it at this, Alexander. The New York Times is putting it out there. There's also a reason. The New York Times is probably also looking to protect the Democrats and Hillary Clinton. And I think Comey may be trying to protect the North.
We're trying to see who's
going to outdo the other.
Yes. Can I just actually comment on what the New York Times is trying to do? I think they're trying to protect the Democrats, because I suspect they've got the information that this case against Comey is coming. So they want to get it out first that this story, this email between Debbie Wasserman Schultz and Bernardo, that those two people deny that it existed. If it was a complete invention, by the way, how did Russian hackers find out about Leonard Bernardo? Well, I've never heard of him.
Yeah.
There we go. I mean, I just make that observation. I don't know. I'm not going to pretend to things to knowledge I don't have.
Comey's going down. All right. Alexander Curtis, editor-in-chief of The Durant. Thank you very much, guys. If you like this video, click on the subscribe button down below. Click on the notifications bell to make sure you get notifications every time we publish a new video. Look for us on iTunes and SoundCloud for an audio copy of this video as well. And please donate to us on PayPal, Patreon, and Subscribestar. Your donation really helps out the channel a whole lot. And look for us on Telegram. Download the Telegram app to keep up to date with everything that's going on with the Durant community. And of course, check us out on the durantshop.com. Purchase some magic mugs, some awesome t-shirts, long sleeve shirts, you name it, we got it.
Absolutely, we certainly do. We've got our four ebooks, by the way, which I would just remind everybody are out there. On Brexit, on Russiagate, and two exceptional ebooks, one on Ukrainegate, the thing that, you know, the big story that everybody's following in the United States, the big story about absolutely nothing, where no crime is alleged, no wrongdoing is identified, all, you know, innuendo and gossip and guesswork by various people. And we've also got the other book, which is about Epstein, the crime that was actually the master criminal who did actually commit crimes and wrongdoing on an almost extraordinary scale, and which has real victims, unlike Ukrainegate, where there are no victims at all. So those are ebooks. We're also selling our magnificent magic mugs, like this one. It's the one with the coat of arms of the Russian Federation. I've been drinking from it rather a lot recently because I particularly like this mug. And you will see how, you know, well made and beautiful it is, and strong, and how it is in excellent order, perfect shape, no cracks, no chips, no discoloration of the badge that you see there, because it is so well made. And everything that we sell is of top quality, including our t-shirts, our long sleeve t-shirts, which is the one I'm wearing now because it's a horribly cold day here in London. Beautiful day, but very cold. And also we've got short sleeve shirts, we've got V-neck shirts, we've got really handsome and amazing polo neck shirts, which are the epitome of smart casual. I worn them to very, very smart occasions. And you can also find hats and hoodies and stickers and other great things. They're all there in our shop. You can go to our shop. Alex will tell you how to do it.
Just go to theduranshop.com. You'll find links for everything down in the description box below. Alexander McCurse, editor-in-chief of The Duran, thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.